You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. We are pleased to bring in right now from NFL Network. He is a former general manager of the Washington Redskins, the Houston Texans, someone I've known for many, many years and kind enough to take some time with us today, Charlie Casserly. Charlie, how are we doing?
Good afternoon, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. So let's get to the heart of free agency, Charlie. As you look at it from a big picture perspective, what do you see out there? Because every year we see teams overpay for players who underproduce. Are you sort of seeing this free agency crop as kind of similar to past years?
Well, I think every year you have different strengths. I think the biggest difference this year is there's more money available because of the jump in the cap. So I think you're going to see some spending that you haven't seen in the last couple of years, and that will help the second level and third level players probably a little bit more. But I think the strength to me is the offensive tackle position. That's where I think you've got some players. And ironically, that's also one of the strengths in this year's draft.
Charlie, Nathan Zagura here. Thanks for joining us. As you look at this free agency period, obviously for the Browns, keeping Alex Mack priority number one, what do you think of their decision to use the transition tag, and how likely is it in your mind that they keep Alex Mack long term?
Yeah, I think they'll end up keeping him because they have a lot of cap room, and I think that'll be a deterrent for teams trying to put an offer sheet on him. That's number one. Number two, the system is unfair for offensive linemen because centers get grouped in with tackles on a franchise number, which is ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay, so that's, I'm sure, the reason they didn't franchise him, and they felt the transition would be able to keep him. And he'll be probably the highest-paid center, whoever he plays with. But I would expect him to be back in Cleveland next year.
Charlie, there's an interesting situation at safety because the Browns looks like they're going to let T.J. Ward, of course, hit the free agent market, and the Bills have a player in Jarius Byrd, another safety, who is also expected to hit the free agency market. And the connection with Byrd, of course, with Mike Pettine, having played under him when Pettine was the Bills' defensive coordinator last year, has people connecting those dots. But Ward had his best season of his four Pro Bowl year. How do you look at the possibility of him going away and how the Browns can address that?
Well, you don't want to lose good football players when you're in a building situation. So, but Ward is a downhill line of scrimmage type player, close to the line of scrimmage, more of a box type safety, a physical guy. So there's some teams he's not even going to fit. And I don't know that that's a position that is going to, it should take a lot of money in free agency to sign him. So they may get him back at their price. Again, he's a good football player, but he's only going to fit certain systems.
From your understanding of Mike Pettine's system, would you say that Jarius Byrd, more of a coverage ball-hawking safety, is a better fit relative to T.J. Ward?
I say the first thing is, if you go back to his system, the way it was in with the Jets, corners were a priority there.
Yep.
Now let's get corners, let's play mass. That's number one. Interestingly, Buffalo re-signed Aaron Williams to a four-year contract. It's certainly less money than when Byrd wants. But in a sense, he might be a cover safety, meaning a man-to-man guy, which Ward isn't and really Byrd isn't. That may be the guy they'd rather have in their system. And, of course, Byrd is asking for, you know, a lot of money, maybe $9 million a year. There are going to be other priorities for the Browns and other teams that might be a luxury in signing a $9 million safety.
Which brings us to our question of the day here on the show, which is a good one. One of the things we talked about is for people in this free agency period, is it more of a priority to get a safety, Byrd or Ward, or to go after a corner like a guy, Sam Shields of the Green Bay Packers at 26, who would be a good fit in the press man scheme you talked about. So would you, in your mind, that's more the direction you think the Browns are likely to allocate those big resources in free agency?
Well, I can't tell you what they're going to do, but the corner is a more valuable position in their scheme than the safety.
Yeah, that is a great point.
It's a good point.
And they have a very good one in Joe Hayden, but they definitely have to get a compliment there. Charlie Casserly, our guest from NFL Network. He's an analyst for them. NFL Network providing complete and comprehensive free agency coverage with Free Agency Frenzy. That's Tuesday, March 11th, when the period for free agency and trading begins, and Wednesday, March 12th, each day, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Be sure to tune in on NFL Network. Charlie, I want to talk about quarterbacks with you. And as you assess the ones in this draft and the so-called big three of Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, and Johnny Manziel, how do you see them fitting in, one of them perhaps with this football team in particular, but in general, is there still a clamor? Because it seems like since the combine, there's been less enthusiasm about those guys being taken in the top five or even maybe top 10 of this draft.
Well, I think a couple of things there. People are looking at them, and they're not seeing true elite quarterbacks. Okay, that's number one. I thought it was interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo at Eastern Illinois had a workout at Northwestern. At least this was published in the papers today. Jim Harbaugh was there, and Houston was represented. Well, not sure why Jim Harbaugh would be there, other than he's in the back of his mind, we're not going to pay Kaepernick $18 million. Let's go find another quarterback, and we'll find a way to win with him. That's just, you know, I have no idea, but clearly they're looking for another quarterback if he's going to do that. And Houston might be saying, you know what, if we take Clowney with the top pick, who's going to be available at the beginning of the second round at quarterback for us? So that could be Garoppolo. And I like Garoppolo. I think guy's a terrific player. He can live with his arm strength. Bridgewater is the most consistent to me as far as accuracy and decision-making, but not elite. Bortles, to me, has the biggest upside because of the arm strength and athletic ability. Manziel, go put him over in another dugout, okay? I have no idea what to do with him. He's a street player who's a runaround guy, no pocket presence, takes off when things are wide open. He's a playmaker in college. You have a lot of work to do with him. So, you know, that's going to be a coordinator's really going to have to understand what he's getting, and everyone's going to have to be patient with him. And, you know, this guy might be Tony Romo for you.
You drafted Andre Johnson back when you were with the Houston Texans in 2003. I've heard a lot of comparisons in Josh Gordon to an Andre Johnson-type player. What's your evaluation of the young receiver of the Cleveland Browns thus far?
Oh, I think he's a big physical player that his hands are a little more consistent as the year went on, and he's improving all the time. Andre Johnson would have been faster, okay? That's number one, or is faster. I mean, he was 4.35 on grass now. At 225 pounds. The other thing is with Andre, and to say nothing against Josh Gordon, but Andre, there was never any issue with him. He was a 10 on the field and a 10 off the field.
Charlie, want to talk with you about the changes that have occurred here and the fact that the Browns saw fit after building this thing up with Joe Banner as their CEO and Michael Lombardi as their general manager. Now those two are gone and basically things have not changed with regard to adding people. It's really more about streamlining. What's your take on the operation here in Cleveland as you see it?
Well, Ray Farmer was going to be a general manager in the next year or two, and maybe could have been one this year at Miami. So moving Ray up was a logical move. He's a bright guy. He's a good evaluator. I think he's got a bright future as a general manager. Mike Pettine is an aggressive young coach. Got a lot of energy to him. He's got charisma to him. Players will respond and play for him. I like Kyle Shanahan as a coordinator, very, very creative offensive mind. Did a terrific job in Washington when he had Rex Grossman at quarterback and then when he had RG3 at quarterback. So, you know, I like all the moves there. A lot of inexperience, so, you know, there's going to be some growing pains. There's no gray beard around to bounce ideas off of, which would be something that could probably help him. Though I do think signing Billy Kuharik is the most underrated move they could have made, because Billy Kuharik is a veteran guy who did a good job in Kansas City, and for whatever reason, which is wrong, didn't have a job the last 5 years. He will help them a lot.
Charlie, you talk about the inexperience at the top, and it's an interesting offseason because the Browns do have nearly $57 million in cap space. They also have the 10 draft picks, so it will be very much an active first offseason for Ray Farmer. As a general manager in the past, how do you think about a situation where you do have so much money and so many picks? How do you want to kind of divvy up attacking the holes of the Cleveland Browns via free agency in the draft?
Well, the one thing is I'd put away half that free agent money for the future. Well, let's always keep working from an advantage in our money. we don't have enough players right now to pay that money to. So that's number one. Number two, you know, obviously addressing quarterback is crucial here, but picking the wrong quarterback and forcing it is a bigger mistake. So if I'm comfortable at four with a quarterback, then I take one. If there's one sitting there in the 20s I'm comfortable with, I take one. But this roster has a lot of holes, and it needs to be beefed up. So I would not be against taking the best player available as I go through this. And again, in free agency, shooting for the younger guys and pay the money to them.
In your mind, Charlie, is there a quarterback in this draft worthy of the fourth overall pick?
You know, I don't know if I could answer that right now. When we get to April, when I've done more work on these guys, and I've watched four games on all these quarterbacks. So, and that ought to tell you something when you're not totally sold on any of them right now. One of the disadvantages you have when you're in television, you can't go work them out and spend time with them. And that's going to be how you're going to decide who the top guys are in this draft at quarterback, more so than ever.
What do you think of Brian Hoyer?
I like what I saw when he played. You know, the guy, the arm, I thought the arm was pretty good. I know people were saying the arm isn't a top one. I thought the arm looked good enough to make all the throws. I thought he showed pretty good poise and decision-making. I thought he did a nice job. I mean, you can't say he's your answer. Not enough pages in the book yet. But I think it'll be. I think you're happy you still have him and you can work with him another year.
There was a lot made here, Charlie, of the fact that the Browns, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine, opted not to interview quarterbacks at the combine and instead want to have those interviews conducted here at the facility where they've got an hour with each guy as opposed to those 15 minutes at the combine. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. I don't think that's a negative. What they did is they spent those 5-6 interviews, whether it be on other players, which, you know, that made more sense because they already know they're going to have quality time with these quarterbacks. They're going to have quality time when they go with them on the road. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It makes sense.
Charlie, thank you so much for your insight and your time. And folks, for all the latest news and analysis leading up to the draft, visit NFL.com/CFB and follow them on Twitter at NFL_CFB. And Charlie, you can catch them on the NFL Network on Free Agency Frenzy starting Tuesday, March 11th, Wednesday, March 12th, beginning each day at 10 a.m. Charlie, thanks. Great stuff.
Hey, great to be with you now. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Charlie Kessler, good stuff.
Very good stuff. And he breaks it down. I mean, this guy is one of the Bill Polian refers to him as, you know, one of the real great minds of personnel evaluation and defers to him as much as others defer to Bill. You know?
Yeah, and I want to say that I think it was important to get somebody, you know, who has been a general manager in this league to talk about that quarterback interview situation. And,
yeah.
And we had no clue, obviously, what he was going to say.
No, he could have said it was a mistake, but I didn't think he would.
I'm glad that he didn't.
It's pretty sound.
Yeah.
All right, we've got much more coming up for you. We are going to have... what are we going to have? Well, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. That's a big thing.
Yep.
We're going to do that. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, will be with us at 2:15. So that's coming up. And we're going to break down a lot of stuff from around the National Football League. Got to talk about your guy, Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers, who I love. I think this guy is easily moving his way up to best quarterback in the league. Do they have to pay him that way? I mean, they're...
I don't know.
Jim Harbaugh watching Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know.
You got Colin Kaepernick there.
Right there.
I'll take him tomorrow.
I'll take him. Yeah, we'll take him out here. We'll go around the league. We got some news, and we also want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Which DB do you want the Browns to go after in free agency? Sam Shields, another cornerback, or the safeties, Jerry Spurr, TJ Ward, CBD?
Leave on the lights. Baby, you can crash my party anytime.